Forward with great anticipation to a coming new year. It's a time to out with the old habits, eating too much junk food, old bad memories, old clothes that you haven't worn in years, bad friendships perhaps, as the Bible says, bad company corrupts good morals. It's a time to in with the new, new beginnings, a clean slate for the year. New goals, maybe to lose weight, maybe to reduce social media consumption, maybe more time reading and studying my Bible, maybe more prayer, more prospects for work, for home improvements, to witness to new neighbors, to give more to my local church and missions and Christian organizations and less to non-Christian organizations, maybe do a community service of some sort in your local community, maybe new habits, watching less television, and reading my Bible more, maybe spend more time with my family, maybe exercise more, maybe eating healthier, maybe new friendships, new things that God has for us to learn and to see and experience, maybe new adventures for us in the new year of 2020 before us. In fact, while sitting on the throne in heaven, Jesus said this, "Behold, I make all things new." That's Revelation 21:5. Jesus is not interested in Kijiji, right? He's not interested in restoring something old or secondhand or recycled or renovated. He's interested in making all things brand new. Brand new. The word new in the Webster Dictionary can mean never existing before, appearing, thought of, developed, made, or produced for the first time, beginning again, refreshed in spirit or health. The word new. What if we were truly live our lives in light of what God says is new? The Bible, in fact, has plenty to say about things new. God likes new. And in his word, the Bible, he speaks of many new things in his word, the Bible. And we're going to look at some of those this evening together. Before we do, let's join in a word of prayer. Father, as we consider some new things that you have made and are doing in our lives, and we rejoice in that. Lord, you're a God who likes the new, and we thank you that there are many new things in your word that you have given to us. As we consider those here this evening, that your spirit might speak to our hearts and again remind us of the good work that you are doing in and through our lives and continue to do in the days to come in the new year, we pray. So guide us now. Bless your word to our hearts. Hide this preacher behind the cross. May the name of Jesus be lifted up, and may you give the anointing here this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. I took a few minutes this past week to look up in my Strong's Concordance things that are new, a number of things that are new, and it's there's many things that are new. And I just went down through the list, and the Lord led me to particularly seven new things that God makes or does in our lives that we want to look at here this morning. First and foremost is the new birth. The new birth. Jesus, in his explaining the gospel to a very religious man, a Pharisee or law keeper of the day named Nicodemus, said this in John chapter 3. And again, you can turn to these passages there this evening. I'll kind of move right along here, but do take time to see them as we read them. It's good to see them. It goes through your eye gate as well as your ear gate and to hear it, and that's important. So John chapter 3, Jesus speaking to this religious man, but not a believing man at the time, Nicodemus, said, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Again, the water is a reference in Scripture to the Word of God. And we know that as in a physical birth, there are two seeds, a man and a woman, to come together to bring about a physical birth. So there are two seeds that must come together to bring about a spiritual birth, and that's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Those two have to be together for there to be a new birth. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. And then he says there in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, a physical birth, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, a spiritual birth." Like Nicodemus, being religious does not qualify any of us for heaven. Since Adam's fall from his original state of holiness, everyone has been born in a state of spiritual deadness, if you would. None of us can please God by good social behavior or by any reformations or any religious rituals or good deeds or merits on our part. None of us can please God by any such thing. The only means to be acceptable and to pleasing with God is through the new birth or by being born again. Say that with me, born again. The Greek word translated again can either mean from above or anew. So born again is to be born from above or born anew. Another word we use is the word regeneration or reborn. The rebirth, being rebirthed, a spiritual birth into the family of God. The new birth or regeneration is the act by which God imparts spiritual life to the one who trusts Christ. That's a good definition of the new birth. Without this spiritual birth, a person cannot perceive spiritual things. They are spiritually dead and cannot perceive spiritual things, nor can he or she enter the kingdom of God apart from the new verse. Note the new birth. Note verse 5 here. He says, most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So apart from the new birth, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. The point is, just as we have had a physical birth to enter into an earthly family, so we must also have a spiritual birth to enter the family of God. Have you experienced this spiritual birth? And I'm sure most of you have, if not all of you have here this evening. But like Nicodemus, we might think we're religious. And people in churches today think they're very religious and they go to church like clockwork, faithfully. But again, religion does not save us, does it? Only the new birth and being born again into God's family can save us and allow us to become into the family of God. This truth is vividly portrayed in the life of George Whitefield. At age 16, George Whitefield became deeply convicted about his sin. He tried everything to become acceptable to God. He wrote, I fasted for 36 hours twice a week. I prayed formal prayers several times a day and almost starved myself to death during Lent, but only felt more miserable. Then by God's grace, I met Charles Wesley, of course, the brother to John Wesley, right? Who put a book in my hand and showed me from the scriptures that I must be born again or be eternally lost. And again, a note here of the importance of getting the word of God out to people, right? And sowing the seed through the scriptures and getting the word of God out so that people might know that they need to be born again. Just as Charles Wesley did in showing that to George Whitefield. And so finally, by the working of the Holy Spirit in his heart, Whitefield understood that he had to trust in Jesus alone in order to be saved. And so he did that. He believed and was both forgiven and he was changed and gloriously saved, George Whitefield was. And after he became a preacher of the gospel, he spoke at least 1,000 times on guess what the subject was? You must be born again. You must be born again. Secondly, through the new birth, we become new creatures or new creations in Christ. Paul penned these words in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? A new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Life Application Study Bible explains verse 17 this way. It says this, Christians are brand new people on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives them new life and they are not the same anymore. We are not reformed, rehabilitated, or re-educated. We are recreated or new creations living in vital union with Christ. At conversion, we are not merely turning over a new leaf. We are beginning a new life under a new master. I like that, don't you? Someone has said this, Jesus can change the foulest sinner into the finest saint. And that is so true. The Christian Advocate told about an English clergyman who was the guest at a girls' school while visiting some mission stations in the South Sea Islands. And he was profoundly impressed by the spiritual concern of the students of this girls' school. there on the South Sea Islands. And he was impressed by the art that decorated their buildings, and he was impressed by their personal cleanliness. But the highlight came as he boarded the ship to return to England. The girls of this girls' school lined up in two rows, and they sang enthusiastically, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Wow. He was deeply moved and deeply touched, especially when one of the staff members whispered into his ear, "Every one of those girls is either the daughter or the granddaughter of a cannibal." Can you imagine it? What a transformation in those young girls' lives as they came to faith in Jesus Christ and became a new creature in Christ. What God did for those girls, he can do for you, or he can do for anyone. Any loved one of yours, any friend of yours, any neighbor of yours who would come and repent of sin and accept Christ as Savior and Lord. And when you receive Christ into your life, you will be changed from the inside out forever. All things will pass away. All things will become new. By simply trusting Christ and him alone to take us to heaven, we can become children of God and his new creations. What a way to begin this new year as a new person in Christ. The third new thing that God makes is a new nature. Not only the new birth, and not only a new creature, but a new nature. And you can go with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll pick it up here at verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, that is, heard about Jesus, taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Keep in mind, God has given us two natures. The old nature, our sinful nature, which we were born with, that we inherited from Adam. We can call it the fleshly nature, the old nature, sinful nature. And then, of course, the new nature, which we receive when we are born again of the Spirit of God into the family of God. We receive a new nature. That new nature is the nature of God in us. It's like two dogs living inside of you. Now, you've got the old nature and you've got the new nature. You don't get rid of the old nature, wishful thinking, right, when you become a Christian. But through Christ and his power in you, you can win over the old nature. How many believe that? Amen. Some of you don't look real sure. Well, you can. Through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit and through daily walking in submission and authority to the authority of the Word of God in your life and abiding in the vine and saying no to this world and to the flesh, you can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, win over it. But whichever dog you feed the most will win over. You feed the old nature and its lust and its evil desires, it will win over. You feed the new nature, God's Spirit within you, through daily Bible reading, through daily abiding in Christ, feeding on his word, relying upon God's strength and grace every day, being filled with the Holy Spirit and evidencing the fruit of the Spirit and fellowship with the saints and loving and serving God. The new nature will win over. It really will. Our old way of life before we believed in Christ is now completely in the past. Yet Satan likes to let it show its ugly head when he can in our lives, the old man or the flesh. And that's why we are to put it behind us like old clothes to be thrown away. Put off the old clothes of the old man. Throw them away. This is both a once and for all decision when we decide to accept Christ's gift of salvation, and it's also a daily conscious commitment to put off the old man and to die to sin and to self and to put on the new man, to put on Christ. It's a choice that you and I must make every day, to die to sin and self and the flesh and to put on Christ in our lives. We are not driven by fleshly desires and impulse. We're not to be driven by that, by fleshly desires and impulse, but rather we are to walk and we are to live in the Spirit in our lives. and under the control of the Holy Spirit, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. God does a total makeover. He really does in our lives. Inside out in our lives. From the inside out, he does a total makeover in our lives when we come to faith in Christ. And he empowers us to put on the new man or the new role, to put on Christ on the throne and not self anymore. It's when self reigns on the throne that the self wins over, the flesh wins over. But we need to let Christ be on the throne of our hearts, and so that he indeed will reign. And that we will head in a new direction. Christ. And let Christ take the steering wheel of our lives. And let him direct us day by day. So that we can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And allow the new man to reign and be victorious. And then we need to choose a new way of thinking. A new way of thinking. And that the Holy Spirit will give to you. It's a new worldview that you allow Christ to be on the throne of your life, and you're thinking more what God wants you to think as you allow the Word of God to go into your mind and transform you, as Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's so important what you put into your mind, because what you put in the mind is going to come out in your life, right? You put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. If you put what's good in your mind, good is going to come out. And in our lives. And so that's why it's so important to allow the Spirit of God to be working in our lives through the Word of God as we put it into our lives to transform us and to change us from the inside out. The fourth new thing God makes are his new mercies. His new mercies. Go with me in the Old Testament book of Lamentations this evening, in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations is just after Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3, and we read these words, verse 22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His compassions, or his loving kindness, fails not. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. The prophet Jeremiah records those words for us, and you see, once one has placed his trust in Christ for salvation, one experiences the great blessings of God, including his mercy and his compassions or his loving kindnesses. The mercy of God means that as God's child, I do not experience what I actually deserve, which is no mercy. I don't deserve God's mercy. I deserve God's wrath. I deserve his judgment. I deserve hell. I'm so thankful for his mercy this evening, aren't you? And that his mercies are new every morning. Dear ones, he loves me so much that without fail, his mercy is extended to me. And according to the Apostle Peter, his mercy will never be exhausted. Isn't that good news? It'll never run out. You think all the mercy that you need every day, it's going to run out eventually. No, it never runs out. 1 Peter 1:3, it's never exhausted. It's a good thing, because I'm discovering that the more I journey along in this Christian life, the more I realize how much more I need his daily mercies. How about you? Yeah. Aren't you glad these mercies are daily provisions from God's good hand, and not just weekly or biweekly or monthly or once a year? But they're new every morning. They're daily mercies that he gives to us. And there are new ones every day. Every day there's new mercies that come upon us. And that's why the psalmist David could write in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, what? All the days of my life. You need mercy today? You need mercy tomorrow? It's going to be there for you. It's going to be there for you. God promises it to you. They are there 24/7. And they're not old mercies, but they are new mercies for you and I. Fresh, every day that you need them, they're there. Are you and I going to need these new mercies fresh every day in the new year, 2020? Mm-hmm. It's good that God promises a fresh new supply of mercy every day that you and I need, right? You're going to need them this new year, and I'm going to need them. As good as fresh homemade bread is, right out of the oven and a little bit of butter on it, his supply of fresh mercy is so much better and much more lasting and much more needed, and lots of it. Bread will run out, fresh bread, after a while, right? But his mercies will never run out, and they will never grow stale. They'll always be fresh and new every morning that you wake up. They'll be there for you. In fact, the psalmist says that his mercy is plentiful, Psalm 85:5. That is, there's lots of mercy. There's lots of it, enough for everyone, including you and me. There's enough mercy for us all to go around. So think of his daily mercies to you. It's these mercies that are new. Jeremiah said, they're new or fresh every morning. And number five, there is a new commandment that God has made. What is this new commandment that Jesus himself taught his disciples to obey? Well, here it is, John chapter 13, and we read these words. John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So how are people going to know that you're a Christian? Putting a badge on you that says, I'm a Christian? No. You know how they're going to know you're a Christian? By your class, your love. Your love that you show to one another and you show to your neighbor, or that person you rub shoulders with at work or at school with, or in the community store or the supermarket. They're going to know it by your love, that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. It's a new commandment he gives to you. Jesus is teaching us here that our Christ-like love for one another will be on display to others, to show them that we are indeed his disciples, his followers. Some challenging questions we need to ask ourselves then are, do people see petty bickering or jealousies and divisions in our church? Or do they know that you are Jesus' follower by your love for one another in the body of Christ? Am I exhibiting Christ-like love towards my brother, towards my sister in Christ? Number six, there will be a new song. I love this one. This is our created to sing Sunday. We're going to look at another Sunday, commanded to sing Sunday. But we're created to sing a new song. Go with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And we'll read these words. Revelation chapter 5 from John the Revelator. He says here in verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, reference to Christ, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Wow, a new song. The verb sing is in the present tense, denoting a continuation of praise in song. Therefore, we are to be singing praises to God right now, and this will continue on in eternity in heaven with Jesus someday too. Jim mentioned earlier that we're going to be able to sing like never before. We might not be the greatest singers down here, but one day you're going to sing like you've never sung before up in heaven. We're all going to be able to sing, Orlo. We'll all be in a choir in heaven, Orlo. You'll get to make that choir too, by the way. Awesome. All right. Okay. And everybody else here will get to make that choir in heaven, right? And I can't wait for that day when that's going to happen. You know, note that the praise in the song is directed to who? To the Lamb. To the Lamb. And that was verse 8. The Lamb, who is who? Who was slain, who is Jesus. All of our praise is going to be directed to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He is to be praised both now as the Redeemer of men in all ages and races, and he will be praised for all of eternity in heaven. Does that excite you or what? So, dear Christian, that's why we need to get into the practice of singing praises to the Lamb down here, because we're going to spend all of eternity up there praising the Lamb, are we not? I don't know what instrument I'll be able to have, but you'll have an instrument probably too. And we'll be able to use our instruments and our voices in singing praises to the Lamb, and that's going to be amazing. Well, you say, well, I'm not a very good singer. Never been able to sing in the choir. That's okay, because in heaven you're going to be able to sing in your first choir ever, a heavenly choir, and you'll have the most amazing singing voice ever. You really will. Wow. The new song, verse 9, is the song of redemption. The old song is a song of creation. In the book of Job, we are told that the sons of God sang. They were singing because God was the creator, and they didn't really know anything about the love of God like we saints do today as we look back and we ponder the amazing love of God shown to us at the cross of Calvary. So now we sing about our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus, who loves us and who gave himself for us. What a picture we have here. And we're going to spend all of eternity doing this. That ought to get a good Baptist to say amen, right? Yeah, we're going to be doing this for all of eternity. We're going to be worshiping the Lamb and singing praises to the Lamb of God. The word worthy here reveals that he now fills the entire horizon of praise and worship to God. Actually, worship is all about returning to worth, giving God his worth, his worthship, that which belongs to him, what he's worthy of, our praise and our singing and our worship. For that matter, he's the only one worthy of our praise. Amen. Who else is worthy of praise? No one else, right? But the Lamb of God. Note verse 9 says that he has redeemed us to God by his what? By his blood. Yes, there'll be singing of his shed blood in heaven, everybody. Isn't that good news, huh? Singing of his shed blood in heaven. Down here, many denominational churches are taking out of their hymn books or their songs on PowerPoint all references to the blood. Shame on them. But in heaven, they will be put back into the hymn book of heaven and into the PowerPoints of heaven. Hallelujah. I know one thing. I can't wait to be a part of that heavenly choir. Amen. I'll be able to sing as never before. And so will you be able to sing. And we'll be joined. Get this. We'll be joined by innumerable angels. Notice verse 11 here. I can't even begin to imagine how many it would be. Innumerable. It says these living creatures, these angels, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. You do your math on that one. Start counting. You'll be a long time counting. In other words, there are innumerable angels, and they're going to be singing with us up in heaven. Wow. I can't wait for that. Makes me want to get to heaven now, doesn't it? Huh? And join in on this heavenly choir. Hallelujah. They were going to be singing. Verse 12 says here, singing with loud voices, worthy is the Lamb who has received power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, as such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying, blessings and power and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Gets you excited for heaven, doesn't it? Do you see how every animate creature of God joins in this universal act of worship, both in heaven and earth? Evidently, Jody, there's going to be animals on the earth. The fish in the sea, even, that will join in the volume of praise to our Creator. That's pretty amazing, isn't it, Jody? And all you men here that like creation and like the outdoors, it's going to be amazing. And the living creatures will add their amen to it. Fish in the sea and the animals on the earth. They will add their amen to it. And the church is going to fall down in adoration and praise to our great God and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If I could, I would sing the hallelujah chorus for you, but I'm not going to do that this morning. Don't want to scare anybody away. For as we come to hear of this remarkable scene in heaven that every saint will be a part of, we see that we'll be praising and honoring and worshiping, that it'll all be going to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, beloved, if you're not in the habit of singing with all gusto and praising and worshiping him, why not start this new year by doing just that? Because you're going to be spending all of eternity doing that very thing. So let's get a start on it this new year. And lastly, God is preparing a new home. That is for the Christian. That is for the Christian. Revelation 21:1, the revelator John, the apostle, saw a new heaven and a new earth. And heaven will be our new home forever and ever. Heaven, as you know, is a dwelling place of God, where God dwells. It's where God's presence is, and it's where we will be one day, and we will dwell with him forever in that place called heaven. Heaven is where Jesus is now preparing a beautiful new home for us who believe in him. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither believe in you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? To prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. And as he promises to come again in the rapture of the church to take us up there to be with him, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revelation 21:4 tells us that there will be no tears in heaven. There'll be no death. There'll be no sorrow or pain in that place called heaven. Hallelujah. New crystal river, new street of gold, new mansions, new fruit trees that you'll enjoy lining the shores of the Crystal River, and a new city of Jerusalem to explore and feel God's presence in, and all things will be made new in heaven. Verse 5 tells us what a time that will be. So those who have trusted Christ for the new birth will become new creations in Christ, will receive a new nature like that of Christ, will experience daily new mercies from God's good hand every morning in this life, and life to come in our new home, wow, called heaven someday, and we'll be singing a new song, a song of praise to the Lamb of God, both now and forever, and the throne of God in heaven, and every blood-bought child of God will be a part of that heavenly choir, including you and including me. And what beautiful, beautiful voices, Paul, we're going to have up there in heaven. And we're going to be able to sing with the angels of heaven in heaven's choir forever and ever. We'll be worshiping the Lamb of God, our Redeemer. Amen and amen. Father, thank you for your word to our hearts this evening. And Lord, we are excited about all the new things that are ours in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the day that we were born again of the Spirit of God and we became a new creature in Christ. We're so thankful, Lord, you've given us a new nature now, the nature of Christ within us, and we can defeat the old nature, the old man, through the power of the Word of God transforming our mind and through saying no to the temptations of the flesh, through the power of the Holy Spirit to do that, and through daily abiding in the vine so that we can live in victory over the flesh. And Lord, so much we need the Word of God to help us to do that and to have the Word of God in our minds when Satan comes tempting us with the flesh is so important. And teach us to be in the book every day because that's our sword that we need against the enemy and to resist the enemy so that he will flee from us. We need the Word of God in our lives every day. And Lord, we thank you for your daily mercies that are new every morning to us. Father, we rejoice in those mercies, and God, please keep sending them to us because we need them. We need them more and more each and every day, your daily mercies. And we thank you, Lord, too, Lord, that you've given us a new song. And we're going to be singing praises and worshiping the Lamb of God both now and forever as our Redeemer. And we look forward to that. And one day we'll be in that heavenly choir and we'll have voices that will just be unimaginable, that we'll never be able to sing like before. And we'll be singing in heaven with these new voices. And then, Lord, we thank you that you're preparing a new home for us in that place called heaven, and that one day, Lord, we'll be there. And Lord, we're just thinking again this evening of loved ones and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ who've gone on to glory and are there waiting for us. And we long to be there with them. We long to see your face. And we know this very moment that you're preparing a mansion for us there in that place called heaven, a new home for us. What a glorious day that will be when we finally get home to where you are. Keep us faithful until that day. Keep us persevering and enduring. Keep our eyes on the goal, on Jesus, and being like him. So bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.